This is Glenn Houser with World of Radio, 1867. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, first and foremost shortwave. On this edition recorded March 1st, Alaska, Antarctica, Australia, Bougainville, Brazil, Cambodia, Canada, Central African Republic, China, Europe, India, Indonesia, Korea South, Madagascar, Micronesia, Netherlands, Peru, Russia, Taiwan, Turkey, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. More about the AARP tests from Alaska, February 20th to 22nd. During the tests, we never had any indication what the call sign of the transmitter was or were, but an article in ARRL via Mike Terry says it was operating under Part 5 experimental license WI2XFX. To encourage QSLing, Bruce Churchill in California said a generic QSL design. And checking the blog of Chris Fallon, the experimenter for the series of tests, he does have a stack of QSL cards in shrink wrap, but he says, please be patient. I'm bouncing back and forth to Anchorage for university stuff. And from what I can see, they do not include the call sign, although I suppose it could be written in. And another tweet from Chris Fallon says, harp again, perhaps sometime this summer. Hot news from Manuel Mendez in Spain, laid on March 1st. LRA 36 on the air from Antarctica, 15476.0, Radio Nacional, Arcángel San Gabriel, heard March 1st from 2000 to 2015 UT. An hour earlier, he says, Hugo Lopez in Santiago de Chile sent me a WhatsApp informing that the station is on the air with a weak signal. I tried here in Lugo, Spain at 1930, but strong interference from Adventist Radio in Arabic on 15480. But at 2000, it's closed, and now I am hearing LRA 36 carrier and some very weak comments. As I recall, they have been off the air all northern winter or southern summer. They're only on the air a few months a year, apparently, and it depends on the comings and goings of new staff at the Esperanza base. The nominal schedule in the past has been, Monday through Friday only, between 18 and 21 UT, give or take. Of course, I rushed to my receiver, but could not hear even a carrier yet on 15476. Thanks to Artie Bigley, William Lee, and Mike Terry for more and more press from within Australia about the continuing opposition to ABC closing down domestic and external shortwave broadcasts. Person responsible is ABC Managing Director Michelle Guthrie, and she had to appear before a Senate Estimates Committee. But she maintained that the ABC would not reverse its decision, and she said it's not her job to lobby for ABC funding. One of her rationalizations is that people can still listen to weather information on shortwave broadcasts from the Bureau of Meteorology, BOM. It so happens that our contributor, Tobias T-Squared in Germany, ran across one of these, and it's in the 19-meter band, 15615. If you want to hear a non-reach-beyond signal from Australia, this is still possible on a daily basis. Of course, it's not Radio Australia, but a utility, Australian Weather West in Waluna, VMW, with HF fax weather charts, among other frequencies, 15615. He heard it, or rather saw it, February 26th at 1657 and fading out after 1705. The schedule is at www.bom.gov.au. And that frequency is given as 24 hours, also 10555 and 7535, while two others are day or night, 18060 from 21 to 11 and 5755 from 11 to 21. So carry around your fax receiver if you can't hear Radio Australia. It also has a sister station in eastern Australia, Charleville, VMC, and its schedule is also available 24 hours on 5100-11030-13920. 09 to 19 UT on 2628 and 19 to 09 on 20469. The stations also offer marine weather voice transmissions, which I have heard, especially on 12365 and 12362, which are scheduled 24 hours a day. T-Squared says, since their power is only 1 kilowatt each, do not expect huge signals. It's almost as if they are coordinating now rather than competing, but the two stations on 3325 are reported by Ron Howard in California. At least on February 28th, NBC Bougainville, Papua New Guinea, went off at 1200 UT, and RRI, Palangkaraya, Indonesia, suddenly came on 1 minute earlier at 1159 to run several hours more. A 60-meter Brazilian station has reappeared. At least I had not run across it for some time in frequent band scans. Rádio Novo Tempo. It's below 4895, measured February 24th at 0216 on 4894.93. Watch out for India also on this frequency, which might still be propagating past sunrise there, but this was obviously Brazilian. And not the other one. On 4895 in some outdated lists, Radio Bará, which has been off the air for a long time. And I heard Rádio Novo Tempo again, which has a religious and musical format, on February 25th at 0119 and still a carrier at least at 0654. However, the next night it was not to be heard at 0113 check. Much bigger problems around Brasilia. We mentioned last week that the big station at the Rodeador site, RNA or RNB, was missing from 11780 and 6180. This was explained in the Rádio Escutas group by Ariovaldo Lubrito on February 22nd, that there was a breakdown of the transformer at the power substation for the transmitter site. However, when he wrote, 25 meters was back on the air and 49 was going to return the following day. But although they did come back on the air, there was a bit of a problem. While 11780 was functioning okay, the 6180 transmitter was instead putting out a huge distorted blob well below that frequency, as well as a very weak signal on its proper frequency. I was hearing that February 25th from 0131, covering the range from about 6147 to 6157, and interfering with anything in the area. It was still around there the following night, UT Sunday, February 26th, the one night a week when the mighty KBC from the Netherlands via Germany is on 6145 between midnight and 02 UT, but on this occasion receiving severe interference or blockage from Brazil. More about that later. Some listeners were questioning the source of this parasitic spur blob, but I was able to match it, the pauses in the modulation, and even recognize some of the modulation to match 11780. Furthermore, there was a weaker spur blob, but sounding exactly the same further down the dial around 6121 or 6115, interfering with WWCR. Maybe the engineers finally realized something was wrong, because as of 0614 UT March 1st, the spur blobs were gone from 49 meters as well as 6180, while 11780 continued. Who knows what will happen next, but watch out. Mike Cooper sends a story from the New York Times, February 28th. Cambodian government cites Trump in threatening foreign news outlets. In a sign that Trump's criticism of news media may be having a ripple effect overseas, a government spokesman in Cambodia has cited the American leader in threatening to shutter foreign news outlets, including the Voice of America and Radio Free Asia, which should reconsider how they broadcast, or risk a government response if their reports are deemed to spread disinformation or threaten peace and stability. Walt Salmaniv in Victoria says, fellows, from an insider at the CBC, it doesn't look good for CKZU ever returning to the air. Thanks to Colin Neal for digging into this further. Here's what he starts saying. Got the answer, not gonna like it. Basically, it broke, and they don't have parts to fix it because it's too old and no parts available. The money required to purchase a new transmitter doesn't make sense because of the low numbers of people who use it. Changing world, everything's online, blah, blah, blah. Before you say it, yes, I know, I know. Anyway, there's no other way to voice your displeasure than the audience relations number, 1-866-306-4636. And Colin Neal posts a longer story about this on his website. For many residents of BC over the last 70 years, if you lived in an out-of-the-way place, 6160 kHz was likely your only source of news, commentary, and entertainment. It's been on for as long as I can remember. I was a 12-year-old when I first discovered 690 in Vancouver was being relayed by a low-powered transmitter out in the mudflats of Richmond. Through the years, this little 1,000-watt transmitter covered BC and the Pacific Northwest, or Southwest, with a pretty darn good signal, often being heard around the world. It served the fishing fleet in the Pacific, hunters and trappers in the wilds of British Columbia, geologists and foresters working in places served by nothing more than fresh air, sunshine, and moonlight. But time moves on. It's quite a different story on the other coast, where CKZN for Newfoundland and Labrador continues on the air on the same frequency, 6160. What of BC? It's larger than NNL. You would think there we would still be worthy of a regional shortwave radio service. There are thousands of square miles of this great province with little or no cell coverage, and certainly no radio coverage during the day or night. So why has CBC British Columbia simply gone meh as their primary and only regional shortwave transmitter has puffed out? I'd love to know. And Rodney Johnson in Nevada says, perhaps the exact replacement part wasn't available, but it wouldn't take a PhD in EE to fix a problem like that, such as replacing the entire power supply with one built from scratch with modern components. Probably most amateurs would be able to handle it, considering the relatively low power. It's a pity they wouldn't let volunteers work on the transmitter and get it going again. More likely, CBC were looking for any excuse to close it down once and for all. Water for Good, the charity based in Indiana, has sent out their annual report about the Central African Republic, where they still claim to broadcast on shortwave to 1 million listeners without any details in that report. So we consult the World Radio TV Handbook. It's now listed under this name, Radio Maingo, that's M-A-I umlaut, N-G-O, a religious station. The shortwave site is Boali, and the frequency 6030 with 1 kilowatt. It's in French, Sango, Bayaka, and Fulfulde, Monday to Saturday at 06 to 11 UT, and daily at 14 to 17. And then another 2 hours, 17 to 19, 6030 relays the UNDP FM station, Radio Ndeke Luka. However, these are never reported by the Xers, and I can only wonder if they really exist. 6030 is a very bad frequency at night in North America with the Cuban jamming and the Radio Marti. Otherwise, propagation from Central Africa should be barely possible at sign-on 0600. One would think your African DXers would be able to pick it up also in the evening, so can anyone hear it on 6030? The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, 1867. Our thanks this week for financial support from James Reynolds, also known as Ramsey on WBCQ, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute by check or money order in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to World of Radio, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. This also helps support our website with abundant information, worldofradio.com. Dan Sheedy on Moonlight Beach, California, reports Voice of Jinling, China, on 6200, February 24th, from 1427 past 1435. The evening DJs were giving a station list with FM and AM tags, followed by a chat in English about a comedy skit, such as, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, that's a shame." "Hi, Dad, who's your new roommate?" Always a nice signal, and some entertaining programming as well. It's not often we hear of a pirate on long wave, but here's one from John Hode in Kent in the British TX Club. 261 kilohertz variable, a Dutch pirate, Luxembourg music from the likes of the Eagles, Ultravox, and Belinda Carlisle, with some Dutch tracks too. He got it via the WebSTR in the Netherlands and just audible at his own location. That was 1800 UT, February 24th. The All India Radio transmitter in Kurseong 4895 sometimes jumps 1 kHz up in frequency. Such was the case, monitored by Wolfgang Büschel at 0203 UT February 25th. It was only 4 Hz below 4896 in Hindi, but with a tiny signal, he says. He also heard it via another remote receiver, closing down at 17 UT. That, of course, will help to distinguish it, if it's still off frequency, from the Brazilian I mentioned, slightly below 4895. Most of the time, Voice of Strait China has 4900 to itself, the frequency it recently added. But not all the time. Ron Howard in California also heard the Korean numbers station, designated V24, February 25th from 1531 until 1545. It was mixing with Voice of Strait. Started out with both stations singing. At 1535, V24 went to numbers in Korean. They were about equal strength. Torsten Hallmann in Germany says, February 23rd at 1755, "I'm listening to a broadcaster on an unstable carrier, very like Madagascar, but even more off frequency than before, around 5004. Some audio and music before 1800, and then a male speaker. Not enough to catch any details." Ron Howard says, "You're probably right." Dan Sheedy in California said he was hearing an UNID February 23rd around 5004 from 1448 to 1518, which sounds like possible Madagascar reception by Long Path. Torsten says it signed off at just after 1910, which is also what it did when a bit higher on 5008 variable. February 23rd, around 16 and 19 UT, Wolfgang Büschel, using a remote in Thailand, was hearing this unstable signal on 5003.863. However, using a Sri Lankan remote on February 25th at 1600 to 1720, it was wandering between 5013.485 to 0.640. In any event, if it does wander down around 5004 again, do not confuse it with Equatorial Guinea, which stays close to 5005. In New Zealand DX Times, John Durham reports about the Cross, Federated States of Micronesia on 4755. Email from Melinda R. Espinosa says they still have plans to return to shortwave in the future. She says at present we are raising funds for a solar system to generate power, which is not reliable and very expensive on Pohnpei, so we are going for this alternative. Perhaps inspired by the interference from the blob from Brazil, which by March 1st had disappeared, the mighty KBC says they're going to be trying a second frequency for their next broadcast from the Netherlands via Germany, UT Sunday, March 5th at midnight to 02. Not only the usual 6145, but testing on 6040, which they had used in the past and they hope will be clear of interference. And, of course, reports are wanted to the mighty KBC at gmail.com. And no doubt, Uncle Eric would also appreciate it if you attach a sound file of a fart. Herr Dr. Hans-Jörg Biener in Germany says there are 6 remaining active Peruvian shortwave stations, and he's researched the fact that all of them have webcasts in case you would like to compare their audio stream to what you're hearing on shortwave, perhaps even to confirm definitely that you've got a Peruvian. They are the ones on 4747, 4775, 4955, 5025, 5980, and 6173. The exact links are in the new edition, number 1709 of DX Listening Digest, when published, via worldofradio.com. Ron Howard continues to monitor the main Russian shortwave station remaining, Radio Sakha in Yakutsk, on 7345 parallel 7295, Sunday, February 26 at 0246, with their weekend schedule from midnight to 05, as opposed to weekdays when they sign on at 03. There were pop songs, usual ID and ads at 0250, but covered at 0258 by Romania signing on, which is often not as strong as on that occasion. Then again on February 27th, Monday, he heard the two Sakha frequencies from 0450 until off at 0500, with the usual ID and ads music, their interval signal on a Jew's harp or chomos at 0500 and 3 pips. 7295 had much better reception than normal, but 7345 was still stronger. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria notes a change in frequency for one of the English hours from Radio Taiwan International. As of February 15th, it's 16 to 17 UT on 9405, replacing 6185. It's 300 kilowatts, 225 degrees, from the Paojung site to South Asia. Wolfgang Büschel forwards a report from Reinhard Weiss in Germany in the ADX group. A voice of Turkey on a strange frequency, 11473.8, at 0918 UT, February 26th. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria also monitored this. It was drifting from 11480 to 11464. The listed frequency was 11925 for Turkish at 07 to 955, but instead from 11480 to 11468. And the following broadcast at 10 to 1055 in Arabic on 11955 continued the same drift downward from 11467 to 11464. For three Saturdays in a row, I've heard a program on WBCQ 7490 variable, which is yet to appear on their schedule. It's called Atlantic Oldies 2NG Radio. Saturdays, such as February 25th, between 22 and 23 UT. Other than that, this frequency doesn't sign on until 2300 on Saturdays, so that hour is available for special broadcasts. Apparently it's been scheduled from 1 week to the next, and according to his own website, 2ngradio.com, it wasn't clear whether he would be continuing in March. That's the British DJ, circa Washington, D.C. Bill Tilford sends us this news. His Tilford Productions, bringing you from the Isle of Music, is launching a second program, Uncle Bill's Melting Pot, a half-hour musical variety show on WBCQ 7490, best described as indescribable, or as Tilford says, from the ridiculously sublime to the sublimely ridiculous, with genres from A to Z. The inaugural broadcast is Friday, March 3rd UT at midnight to midnight 30, or North American time Thursday, March 2nd at 7 p.m. Eastern. And of course, once DST has started a couple of weeks later, it'll be at 23 UT Thursdays. WRMI is flexible about what it's putting on 6855. Now shown on the schedule in magenta coloring, the hours from 22 to 01 UT apparently are not the same as on other frequencies. Now shown at midnight to 1 UT Mondays is Christmas Radio. It's a show dedicating to playing Christmas music all year. However, we've not heard it the past couple of weeks, but it was heard 24 hours later on UT Tuesday, March 28th. So we're uncertain whether the World of Radio broadcast Friday at 22:30 will still be on 6855, but it should still be on 5950 and 11580. I'm still hearing Reverend Frederick Moe's Christian New Age Radio at a time on WRMI, when it does not appear on their schedule, Mondays at 22:30 UT, or 11580 and 5950. It used to be also on 6855. And speaking of 6855 again, David Gorin tells me, I want to let you know I'll be doing a live shortwave shindig broadcast again from the Winter SWL Fest on Friday, March 3rd, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern until 1 a.m. Saturday, that is 03 to 06 UT, March 4th. David says the first hour will be the usual shindig, live shortwave-inspired music with our resident folk singer Saul Brody, interviews and audio features including a live archival smackdown with Thomas Witherspoon and Mark Fahey, who will be playing rare shortwave gems from their collections. The remaining 2 hours, the top entrants of Shortwave's Long Distance, an open call for shortwave-inspired audio works co-sponsored by NASWA and Wavefarm, a media arts organization which, by the way, also carries World of Radio. A special QSL card is available for this broadcast, sent to David at davidgoren.net. So, my best wishes and greetings to everyone at the SWL Winterfest near Philadelphia, the first weekend in March. I wish I could be there, if only it were within 300 miles like Kansas City or Dallas. Best of DX in 73 from Glenn. Heads up for daylight shifting time, not saving, which is imposed on North Americans March 12th. Most of Canada, most of the U.S., all of Cuba, and Mexican border cities only. This impacts shortwave broadcasts from private North American stations, most of which move their programming 1 UT hour earlier, so it will seem to be at the same local clock time. On WRMI, this applies to programming on 9955, but for the most part not to the other frequencies, except 6855 if and when it is duplicating 9955. So the World of Radio times on 9955 will then be UT Mondays at 0330, Tuesdays at 1100 and 2200, Wednesdays at 1315, and the first broadcast of each week, Thursdays at 11:30. The other broadcasts on WRMI, other frequencies, should remain at the same UT as before. On WBCQ, our times will change, starting UT March 13th, to Monday 0300 on 5130. And every day at 2330 on 9330, except Saturdays 1 hour earlier at 2230. And the one broadcast on 7490, Wednesdays at 2100. On WA0 RCR Missouri, 1860 AM, our time shift, Saturdays at approximately 1930 UT, and UT Sundays at approximately 0315. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria often complains about the distorted modulation on WWCR. Between 12 and 13 UT when it's using 15795 to Europe and English, Arabic, and Russian. This was the case on February 27th when he decided it was actually in the FM mode. But the next day it was back on AM without the distortion. After 13, of course, they switched to the usual frequency for the rest of the day, 15825. The propagation outlook from Boulder. ANKNC is peaking at 20 and 5, March 2nd and 16th, with G1 minor storms, but down to 5 and 2 between March 5th and 13th. Solar flux dropping from 79 March 4th to 72 on the 7th, and back up to 82 by March 20th. And that's World of Radio 1867. Glenn Hauser hoping you'll hear me again next week.